Live is a version of O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair, and we're going to be taking a look at that on this Rumination Tuesday, February the 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Normally I have somebody with me, but I got a call last night that because of ice, he may not be coming in. You're not going to say anything, Mark?
I'm not here.
Oh, you're not here.
You got the wrong melody, Tom. This is not the right melody for this hymn. It's a pretty one, though.
I hate to blame it on you.
Yes.
Because I told you to tell him.
You weren't specific.
Oh, yes, I was. Get the thing going.
You didn't even know the number of the hymn.
No, because the hymnal I used was a different hymnal.
Oh, heretical hymnal, huh?
And here's my question. Is Transfiguration a part of Epiphany or Lent?
Epiphany. It's the last Sunday in Epiphany.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the last Sunday of Epiphany. Lent starts on Ash Wednesday, Tom.
Ash Wednesday?
That's Seminary Worship 101. Come on.
Well, that's the one I failed.
Yeah, that's the difference. Advent starts on a Sunday. Lent starts on a Wednesday.
No, first Wednesday in Advent.
First Wednesday in, no.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's seminary.
Oh, boy, Tom.
Liturgy.
You've got to go back to the seminary.
Oh, you may be right about that. Now, the Transfiguration of the Lord was actually celebrated by the Benedictines on the continent quite early.
Yes.
But it wasn't until the 15th century that it became an observance in England. And this anonymous hymn was one of several written for that occasion.
Yeah, in fact, I remember reading an old book where they were having, it was summer in, I think, Norway, and they were talking about Transfiguration. So I think Transfiguration used to be celebrated in during the summer, but I think it's wise to place it where it is, right before Lent.
Right before Lent?
Yeah. The Hammer of God. It was that book I was reading.
Oh.
Which is about ministry in Norway. And they were the clergy were talking about Transfiguration during the summer.
Yes, it is. There's even a different time for Easter with the Orthodox Church.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so it all depends when you consider the Passover, etc. But isn't that interesting that they really don't know who the author was?
It's a beautiful hymn.
Yes.
It really is a beautiful hymn. O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair.
Yes. So why don't you read the first stanza as we begin?
O wondrous type, O vision fair, of glory that the church may share, which Christ upon the mountain shows, where brighter than the sun he glows.
So we're February the 6th today, 2018. Transfiguration is real early.
It's early, but it's not the earliest I've ever seen it. I mean, I've seen Lent begin, February the 8th, February the 6th?
Wow.
So this year it begins the 14th on Valentine's Day, but it can come earlier.
And so they first decide where Valentine's Day is and then put the Transfiguration?
No. It all is tied in with...
Yes. Passover, Easter, etc.
It's a complicated formula. Have you ever heard the formula for determining Easter?
Yes.
You can never remember it. I mean, there's just no way I can remember that thing. But you can predict. There's usually a table in the hymnal that tells what year and what day Easter will be on. It's amazing.
It's pretty early this year. Sure.
Fairly early, yes.
Yes. So it's going to be.
But sometimes it's even in March. Sometimes it's,
What is it, the first Sunday in April?
It's the first Sunday in April.
Yeah.
The first day in April.
So, O wondrous type. What does the word type mean?
Type is foreshadowing. It's foreshadowing. Although foreshadowing is not really appropriate here because it's wondrous light that this transfiguration.
Although it is a foreshadowing.
It's a foreshadowing of our glory that we will... That we will experience in heaven.
And his glory, too.
And his glory, too. His glory in heaven. Yeah.
That's good. I didn't know
that. Beatific vision. Yes.
I better go back to the sim. O vision fair of the glory, and here it comes, that the church may share.
Yes, that's right. We too will share that glory.
Does that mean we're going to have light?
Who knows? But you know, it talks about degrees of glory. Degrees of glory in heaven. Whatever that means. What will we be like in heaven?
Do you remember what the two Old Testament lessons are for this Sunday? The one is Elijah going up into the sky.
Yes, yeah.
And the other is Moses coming down from Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Both of them have light. And Moses didn't realize that his face was shining.
Right, right, right.
And then when he did, and he realized it was starting to go away,
he put a veil in. Yes.
And it's not until you get to 1 Corinthians that you find the reason for that.
That's right. Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, that's something I didn't learn till later on about that veil of Moses.
Yeah, yes. I learned at the seminary. Yeah. You should go back to the seminary.
Explain now that veil of Moses. Why he veiled himself, and he didn't want people to notice that he was losing it, glory?
That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, it makes it very clear. From the text in the Old Testament, the people were afraid when they saw him.
Yes, right.
So you would think, well, maybe that's the reason why he was doing it. But then it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face was shining because he had been talking with God. Now, that's from Exodus 34. But then in 2 Corinthians, listen to this. We have a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end.
No kidding. So Moses was afraid weren't going to respect him because he was losing that glory.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny, really.
Well, it's kind of like a pastor when we wear vestments. Yeah, they really listen to us.
Yeah, we take them off and then they see our big stomachs.
Yeah, big deal. Kind of that. But that's really funny to me. Paul says we're not like Moses because we have a hope and we are very bold.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to have a shiny face.
That's right.
Because we have greater miracles than a shiny face. We have baptism in the Lord's Supper.
Absolutely. You betcha.
In 1 Corinthians 15, that you kind of brought up, with the degrees of glory, Paul talks about the two kinds of glory. And the way he does it is distinguishing between the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon.
The glory of the moon, yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, sun is original glory. The moon is reflected glory.
Yes. I use the word radiant.
Okay.
The sun has a radiant glory. And the moon, the only reason we see the moon partially is because that's the part of the sun that's...
Yeah, the sun is reflecting its light off that.
Exactly. They had something special about a blood moon recently?
Yes.
I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, well, it's, I guess... Well, no, I think that is... when the Earth eclipses the Moon and the Sun is on the other side, and
I
don't know, Tom.
You better go back to the seminary because that was astronomy one.
We had a blue moon. We had a full moon. We had a blue moon and a blood moon this past month.
Yeah. Boy, we had a lot of moons, but. We're pastors, not astronomers, so no idea what that means. All righty.
Did you hear, by the way, that the telescope has picked up planets beyond the Milky Way in another galaxy 3.8 billion light years away? Can you even fathom that distance? 3.8, you know. Talk about a great God, a creator of this universe. 3.8 billion light years away. We've seen these, we picked up these planets.
Yes. Usually in an article like that, they move right to evolution.
Well, they didn't in this. You know, no, it's that's every good. Every house is built by some God. He that built all things is God.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they're trying to find a planet that looks like Earth with all the things. But I read an article put out by the creation folks how just a few miles closer to the sun, you wouldn't have life.
Yes.
I mean, it is absolutely perfect.
Right.
Where Earth is, the way it rotates, and everything else. And so, you know, well, that's another subject. I don't know how you got on that. Okay. we're brighter than the sun, he glows.
Yes.
Now, the example in the, that no whitener, no laundry could make it as bright.
Right.
Yeah. Did they have to wear sunglasses?
No, but they were dazed by the, the vision, you know.
And they were in fear, too.
Yeah.
So, stanza two, please.
With Moses and Elijah nigh, the incarnate Lord holds converse high, and from the cloud the Holy One bears record to the only Son.
Okay, what's that talking about? What's the conversation between Moses and Elijah?
They, Moses and Elijah are talking about his, the word is Exodus.
In the Greek.
His departure.
Yes.
His departure from Jerusalem. How, you know, the thing that, the important purpose for which he has come.
The crucifixion.
The crucifixion, yes. Isn't that, that doesn't that really give you goosebumps to think that, that Elijah and Moses...
Right.
Know about this climactic event, and they're talking with Jesus. Are they encouraging him on? Are they cheering him on? Are they, you know, what were they saying to him?
No,
you know?
that would be an interesting conversation to listen. That's probably why, see, there's two options for the Old Testament reading. One of them is Elijah, and the other one is Moses.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I was wondering, why are they doing that? And then you figure it out, because they were on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Moses. Well, another reason too, Elijah was taken into heaven without dying.
Right.
And Moses was buried by God somewhere on Mount Nebo. I mean, those are two interesting, you know, they're just different departures. Yes.
There are some scholars that think that Moses also was raised from the dead, and they point to the Transfiguration. But that's not necessarily true, because God can bring back the spirit of a person too.
Uh-huh. Well, if you look at is it Jude that talks about the archangel Michael wrestling with Satan
right.
over the body of Moses?
Oh yeah,
that's kind of an interesting passage.
Yeah, there are some real interesting. I got one I'm going to tell you about that I haven't figured out how to answer, but we'll talk about that later. When we're alone, hopefully you'll have it.
Well, now you've got everybody. Now you've got everybody's interest, Pete.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to talk about it this week. I'll just mention it. I don't know if we're going to talk with Wes on Thursday or have it as open mic Friday. I'm thinking of going to the Sim and looking it up. It's in Judges 11.
Judges 11.
Yeah, this... warrior says to God, if you allow me to... beat these people up, and I return home. Whoever comes out of my house,
oh, yes.
I will put to death.
And it turns out to be his daughter.
Yes.
Yes.
And he does a burnt offering of her,
that's
it appears.
Right. I know. That is a kind of a sad story. I know.
Not sad. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. I remember that story.
I mean, everywhere in Judges... Yeah. God is against human sacrifice.
That's one of those Bible stories that you just never hear about it in Sunday school. You know what I mean?
I guess not. What a great lesson that would be.
Yeah, what is it? Judges 11?
Yeah, if you disobey your parents, you know, they can sacrifice you.
Yeah.
It doesn't, especially in light of the fact that Abraham's all set to sacrifice Isaac and God stops him.
Yeah, what was the name of that warrior? I'm trying to think of his name.
We're going
to
talk about it this week.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to get into it any further. But it was an email I got.
Uh-huh.
And they said, how do you explain this? So we're working on it. It'll either be Thursday or Friday. All right. Stanza three.
With shining face and bright array, Christ deigns to manifest today what glory shall be theirs above, who joy in God with perfect love.
Now, do you notice that the word for epiphany is in there?
Yeah, manifest.
Yeah,
right.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. The word epiphany is the season where God or Jesus manifests his messiahship.
God in flesh made manifest, the hymn goes.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
And so, with shining face and bright array, except that is radiant light, not reflective light.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
Christ deigns to manifest today what glory shall be theirs above. So this particular writer of this hymn definitely believes we're going to have that kind of a glory.
That's right.
And are you worried about that, that your wife's going to have a higher degree of glory than you?
No, because I'll be in heaven. There's no worry in heaven.
Oh, there isn't?
There's no fretting. No,
oh,
none
I'm
of
glad
that.
You said that.
That's right. So you won't feel any humility at all, Tom, in spite of the lesser degree of glory that you have.
I won't feel any humility? You mean I will be humble? I will feel humble.
No.
Oh, I won't?
Well, I don't know. I'm all confused.
You sure are. You should go to the seminary. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Somebody asked me, what's this difference between degrees of glory?
We don't know.
And I said, I'll answer that. If you will answer my question. What's the difference between a cherubim and a seraphim?
Seraphim has six wings.
No, there's...
they have six wings?
Gabriel wasn't a seraphim?
Gabriel was a mighty angel. No, he was an archangel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
So what's the difference between an archangel and...
And seraphim? Just a higher degree of glory.
Oh, higher degree. Is that right? Wonder why he got a higher degree.
Yeah, I think archangel is, you know, they're a higher rank of angels.
Yeah, I imagine. But I thought they're all equal in heaven.
Equal, no.
There's no distinction between male or female, archangel or cherubim, or don't you remember that verse?
No.
There is no.
No, I think that must be an apocrypha that you're reading from.
Stanza 4. And faithful hearts are raised on high by this great vision's mystery. Well, you got to make it rhyme. For which in joy full strains we raise, the voice of prayer, the hymn of praise. So we don't do what Peter did.
Let's see.
Well, it's not in here.
Peter wanted to build three booths.
Yeah, three.
Three of them. One for Christ, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he just wanted to camp out. It was such a euphoric experience. He just wanted to camp out up there for a long time.
And who did he forget to build a booth for? The Father.
God the Father.
Yes. What was a new thing the Father said at Transfiguration that he didn't say at the baptism?
This is my beloved Son.
In whom I am
well pleased.
And then he added.
Now that was at the baptism.
At
then
both
he
places.
Said, listen to him.
Yes, listen to him. In fact, that reminds us Moses when he was talking about the new prophet who would be like me.
That's right.
And he puts that in there.
That's right.
You are to listen to him.
Right. Yeah, that was a lesson, Old Testament lesson, just a couple Sundays
That's
ago.
That's exactly right. So what we have here is a. Picture of what preaching really is about. Don't listen to the pastor, listen to Jesus.
Listen to him.
So the pastor better be talking about
Absolutely.
Jesus.
You bet.
That's what the whole thing is about, and that's why so much preaching is so bad these days. Because they're not talking
about
Jesus.
Preaching Jesus.
No, you can listen to some of these evangelicals. Not once will you hear about the cross and the resurrection. And certainly not that you are... You know, righteous in God's sight and sinless in God's sight, as though they never heard this stuff. Boy. Anyway, stanza 5.
O Father, with the eternal Son and Holy Spirit ever one, we pray thee, bring us by thy grace to see thy glory face to face. It's talking about the so-called beatific vision that we will behold when we see God face to face.
Where's the first time in the Bible that's mentioned?
Let me think now. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Right. Because he goes on and says, I will see him.
In the latter day. I will see him stand upon the earth.
And you'll see him face to face.
That's right. Yeah, right. Okay.
Which is not possible.
Is that the first one? Is that the first reference to...
I don't remember another time that anybody...
Well, remember Moses... Who wanted to see God, and God told him,
That was Moses. Put him in a cleft of the rock, and he said,
I'll pass before you.
Yep.
And we believe that his backside was actually the cross.
For us today, that would be the backside of God, yes. So, as far as I know that my Redeemer lives is the first time where we're going to be able to see God face to face. Right now, you couldn't stand it. I would say that even though Jesus was brilliant, that was probably only about 1% of his brilliance.
Right, right. On Transfiguration. Oh, yeah. Even at that, the disciples were dazed.
Oh, I know.
They were in a stupor, like.
Remember what Revelation says that, and Dr. Brighton made a point on this. It says there was no need of the sun. Because of Christ. And he said, it isn't saying that there wasn't a son. It's just S-U-N.
There's no need of it.
Because Jesus is so brilliant. And for us to be able to see him face to face means we have to have a different body.
Yes. This mortal must put on immortality.
Look at how afraid Isaiah was when he thought he saw God.
Oh, yeah. I'm a man of unclean lips.
Exactly. Yeah, woe is me.
For my eyes have seen the King.
Yeah, exactly. And that was just a vision. That wasn't even. So that's one of the things that's going to happen. And that's why on Judgment Day, we end up getting a new body and a new spirit. And that's just so that we can entertain these new items. What are you preaching on this week?
You know what? Well, it's going to be Transfiguration, I haven't decided.
Which text?
Yeah, I'm still pondering that. Well, I'm thinking ahead on Lent already. You know, I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's going to be
It's not far.
Yeah, the beginning of Lent. So Transfiguration is the end of Epiphany.
Yeah. What are you doing for Lent? What's your sermon series for Lent?
Probably Words from the Cross.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, well, it better be. It's in the Bible. What's your theme? You have a different...
I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to do that series on Revelation, the seven churches of Revelation.
Oh, really?
I'm
going to
do that. Yeah,
that's.
I did it some years ago, and I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Next Tuesday, if there's no ice,
planning on it.
All right, and
that'll be Shrove Tuesday. You know, Fat Tuesday. Which is appropriate.
Yes, for the day before Valentine's. Tomorrow, Insight Wednesday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.